Good morning. Today on Perspectives, I have two guests joining me. Mark Millar, he is Division Director with Casey Family Services, Maine Division, and also Beth Brown, who is a foster parent. Mark and Beth, both thank you very much for joining me today.
Good morning, and thank you.
First of all, let's acquaint people with what Casey Family Services does, and maybe give us an overview and what you're all about, please.
Sure. Casey Family Services is the direct services agency of the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and we have divisions throughout New England and in Maryland, and we offer foster care and adoptive services, and we want to make sure that every child that comes into our program has a strong, lifelong family connection, and we connect children that are in need of foster care or adoption with our foster families and adoptive families.
Okay, so let's talk about foster parenting. Great need for foster parents. Is that true?
Absolutely. In Maine, there is 2,000 children in foster care on any one day, and there isn't enough foster homes. We're doing a better job of having children spend less time in the foster care system, but one of the greatest needs is additional foster parents and foster parents that are able to be flexible in offering reunification services, trying to get those children back home with their birth families, or if not, then they often become the adoptive parents.
And what do you look for in a foster parent?
We look for a foster parent, first of all, there's no one cookie cutter. They don't have to be married. They don't have to be rich. They have to be loving and caring and flexible and willing to work as part of a team. And I think most important, a sense of humor really pays dividends.
Now, are there any misconceptions about being a foster parent or anything that you would like, any myths that you'd like to dispel about being a foster parent?
Well, as I think said before, some people thought, oh, I have to own my own home. You don't have to. You can rent. I have to be wealthy. No, you don't have to be. I have to be married. No, we have single parents. We have gay foster parents. We have a variety of people that are willing to reach out and support children in need.
All right. So tell me a little bit about the process, what you go through. Someone comes to you and says, I'd like more information on becoming a foster parent. Where do you go from there?
Well, I think the first thing we try to do is we offer a radio advertising and programs like I'm talking this morning, and all they have to do is dial 1-888-799-KIDS. That's 1-888-799-5437. Or they can go to our website at caseyfamilieservices.org, and that gets the ball start rolling, and they'll be able to talk to somebody about what it takes to be a foster parent or adoptive parent.
All right, and we'll make sure to give out that website and also that phone number a little bit later on in the interview also. Well, let's talk about Beth, and let's talk to Beth, please. And Beth, tell me about your experience with Casey Family Services, and how did you learn about Casey?
Well, we actually went through DHS originally because we couldn't have our children of our own and wanted to start our family. So when we contacted DHS, they didn't have a training program set up until January, and this was October. So they recommended we contact Casey, who then started the training process with us and all the paperwork, and that's how we got into it.
Tell me about the training process and the paperwork. Was it overwhelming, or how did you find it to be?
It could be overwhelming at first glance, but then through the support of the Casey caseworkers, through the DHS caseworker, it's a step-by-step process. And then, of course, the training program, we broke up, I think, once a week and met for 3 hours at a time. So it really was a manageable process.
I'm guessing that after you've been through the training program that you felt that it was really a necessary step to go through before you actually became a foster parent.
For sure. And there's always ongoing training.
Okay.
And again, through the support of Casey, you never feel like you're alone. So there's always help available.
And it sounds like you're also committed. This is something that you really wanted to do.
Again, we went into it knowing that this is where we wanted to go. And we're looking towards adoption in the next couple of months. So we're
congratulations.
Very excited.
That's exciting. Yeah. Now, were there any surprises that came about as you're going through this process?
Yes, the biggest surprise to me was that it's not just about offering love, but it's about offering care and commitment. And the commitment is the biggest part that I didn't realize that how important it was for the child.
Mm-hmm.
I originally just went in, you know, if I love him enough, it'll be okay. But it's more about finding out what his actual needs were beyond just the love.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any misconceptions or anything that you feel that you had to face that you thought things weren't really quite how you expected them to be?
No, I think Mark hit it on the head with the misconceptions of being rich or owning a home. I mean, we do own a home, but we had never parented before. So I think just knowing that there's a child out there for everybody.
Now, would you consider it a worthwhile experience for you?
More than you can even imagine.
And if people could only see your smiling face, you look so happy.
Thank you. We are.
I think it's important to add, too, that the national data shows that if more people knew about the need for foster parents, more people would step up to the plate. That's why we do these types of programs, that there actually are children waiting right now for foster homes or adoptive homes, especially older children. What we're really trying to do now is make sure that every child that's in foster care, whether they're one day old or they're 17, leave the system with a lifelong family connection. Just like all of us need our parents for many, many years after 18, foster children need that too. And our research shows that if they have that permanent lifelong connection, they do much better in school, in employment, and in a host of other outcomes that we want to see for children in foster care.
All right. Tell me a little bit more specific about the training process that a foster parent has to go through, if you could, please.
They have to come to a series of classes. It's 24 hours of training, and it's taught by both staff at Casey or other agencies, Department of Health and Human Services. But more importantly, it's also taught by foster and adoptive parents, because they're really the ones that know what it's like each and every day to be a foster parent or adoptive parent. And we also have children that have often graduated from the foster care program come back and talk about what it's like to be in the foster care system. So we try to make it interactive, and we try to give them as much information as possible so that they can make that informed decision whether to go ahead and become licensed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, do you work with other organizations, schools, hospitals, other nonprofits in the course of...
We work very collaboratively with a number of different nonprofits. Other foster care agencies are in a collaborative with us. We also work with Community Partnership for Protection of Children right here in Portland, which is trying to strengthen families and communities, because it really does take a village to raise the children. And often, as Beth was saying, it's important that we work as part of a team. So the foster parents or adoptive parents aren't there by themselves. They work with school systems. They work with therapists. They work with my caseworkers. And even after a child is adopted, we offer post-adoption services so that they can continue to get services for their family throughout the lifetime of that child.
It sounds like you're there at every step of the way.
We try to be, but we also then slowly try to empower the parents, adoptive parents, to be in charge of their family and decide what is best for them.
Now, do you ever have, like, children that are already in a family and then bring a foster child into the household? Is that something that you deal with also?
Yes, we have birth children are often in a family, or there may be other foster children or adoptive children. So we have some families where there's only one child. We have other families where there's maybe three or four children. And we try to offer support to those children too, because everyone is affected when a new family member joins the family.
Mm-hmm. Now, you work, you cover New England, you said, and Maryland. Was that your coverage area?
Casey Family Services has divisions throughout all the New England states and in Baltimore, Maryland. I run the main programs, and I just would like to put a plug, as I think what we really, really need foster parents are in these cities like Portland and Biddeford and Saco, Concord, anywhere there's major metropolitan areas. I say that major because Maine's a small state.
As major as it gets
and
here.
New Hampshire's a small state. But disproportionately, kids come into care from those towns, but we often have to place children outside in small rural areas, and it's tough enough to come into foster care, but when you lose your family, you lose your school system, and you lose your family connection. So we're really trying to improve our recruitment in those towns.
Okay. All right. So again, if people are interested, they need more information, where should they go?
They should call us at 1-888-799-KIDS. That's 1-888-799-5437. Or go to our website, www.caseyfamilieservices.org. That's C-A-S-E-Y, familieservices.org.
All right. Do you have any numbers on the amount of children that are waiting to get into foster care at this point, or waiting for a foster family, I should say?
We have right now about 2,000 children in foster care.
Okay.
But We have a number of children that are in residential care or group care, over 150 children that are waiting for families. And if we were able to find families and license them, they could come in. And we don't know tomorrow a child may have to come into care, and we need foster families that are willing to work as part of a team towards what we call reunification, have that child go back home with the birth parents, or if not, then on to some other type of permanent arrangement.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I can say each and every day we could serve more children if we had more foster families and adoptive families.
Okay. Now, is there any type of stipend to help families out if they say, I just can't afford to take a child
That's
in?
A really good question. And there is a what we call a level of care system, so that they're given a per diem daily rate depending on what difficulty for the child is. But they also should know that they get free medical care for the children through Maine Care. We pay 100% for clothes. We help with child development costs such as summer camps or violin lessons or karate lessons, and they get other reimbursements. So it shouldn't cost them money through this system. They're sure not going to make money or
right.
get wealthy,
right.
as one of the myths in foster care. People okay. do it for the money, which is absolutely not true. But at the same time, the state and Casey Family Services offers supplemental support. And if they decide to adopt through a federal program, the adoption subsidy program, they continue to get an adoption subsidy until the child graduates from high school.
So I'm sure that's a great relief to parents to realize that this child is covered and doesn't have to worry about, you know, clothes and food and so forth.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's see. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you'd like to mention in this segment?
I would just like to say to our listeners there this morning that give us a call and we can talk to you about what it would take to become a foster parent. Or if maybe you're not quite ready, tell your friends about that. We often know that people hear programs like this and think about it for 3 months, 6 months, a year, and then decide it's the right time. And there's also a lot of other opportunities to volunteer and help children at risk throughout their community. So I urge them to get involved, and there's a real reward. And I've heard from foster parents and adoptive parents, I've been with Casey for 23 years this month, that they get a lot more back than they actually give. And it's a tough job. I'm not trying to say it's easy all the time. There's a lot of challenges, but there's also a lot of rewards.
Well, you bring up a good point about volunteers. Does Casey Family Services have a need for volunteers?
We have a need for what we call respite providers, somebody that maybe could give one weekend a month to help maybe give a break to our foster parents or adoptive parents. That's a real need. We have opportunities for other volunteers, whether it's helping with child care or whether in our weekend groups or our groups during the evenings. There's a lot of different volunteer activities. And if we're not able to do that, then we refer them on to United Way or to another private foster care agency or the department.
Okay. And what about fundraising? Do you ever have to do fundraising events or anything like that? Or where does
we do what, like May is National Foster Parent Month, so we're going to do a number of community awareness more than doing fundraising. We don't do fundraising because we're a private foundation. We're
okay.
funded by the Annie Casey Foundation and partly by the Department of Health and Human Services, but we do a lot of public awareness to bring about the need for foster parents and adoptive parents.
Okay, very good. Now, if you could give out that phone number and also that website address again, please.
I sure will. 1-888-799-KIDS. That's 1-888-799-5437. And www.caseyfamilieservices.org.
All right, Beth, before we wrap the segment up, anything else that you'd like to say?
I think it just needs to be said again that the support of the Casey Family Services is available and ready to help with anyone that wants to become a foster parent.
All right. Thank you very much, Beth. Anything else, Mark?
No, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting us.
All right. Thank you very much. That is Mark Millar. He is Division Director of Casey Family Services, the Maine Division, and also Beth Brown, foster parent. I'm Sandra Harris with Perspectives.